So Jesus, it seems to me, like all summer long, has been trying to get us to pay attention, to really be intentional about being his follower, about being a disciple, an intentional disciple. Remember, a few weeks ago, he said, you think I came to bring peace? I came to bring division. Father against son, mother against daughter, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And then he said it a little earlier on, he said, enter through the narrow gate, because it's the only way to the kingdom is through the narrow gate. And a couple weeks ago, using the hyperbole that was very common in those days, he said, if you don't hate your family, if you don't hate your mother and your father, if you don't hate all your stuff, you can't be my disciple. And so he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's ready to have this colossal clash with evil and with the values of this world, and he wants his disciples to be prepared for all that. And so he offers these different things, and here again today, he's at it once again. He's shocking his disciples before they get there. And as one commentator said, he's smoking out the phonies. Who's really choosing to be a follower and who really isn't? Now, you and I live in a world where sports rule, and football is king. Not too many years ago, an executive for the NFL said that it used to be that Jesus was Lord of Sundays. Now football's Lord of Sundays, especially with the NFL. Now, a few years ago, one of the coaches for the National Football League was accused of cheating. What he did to gain an advantage was he was videotaping signals from the other team during the game, and that's cheating. You can't do that. And all that week long in the sports talk shows, they were talking about this particular issue. And at one point, one of the shows I was watching, one of the commentators said, "Well, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying." And all the other ones kind of nodded their heads in agreement. Now, one of the big issues in performance, big issues in athletics today is performance-enhancing drugs, especially with steroids. Now, if you don't know anything about performance-enhancing drugs or other things, they make you bigger, stronger, faster. They help you to do things athletically that you wouldn't be able to do otherwise. And it gives the athlete this kind of competitive edge. But it's cheating. It's against the rules. And there are these remarkable side effects to many of these performance-enhancing drugs, like heart attack, liver disease, cancer, mood swings, they call it roid rage, and a tremendous lowering of a person's life expectancy. And athletes are willing to take the risk of doing all that stuff because they say it gives them this competitive edge. And I'm wondering, is it one more time where it's like, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying? Now, all of that brings me to our very strange parable and gospel today. Now, first of all, before I start talking about that, you have to know, every single parable Jesus tells is supposed to be disturbing. It's supposed to be unsettling. It's supposed to make your old ways of thinking and sort of turning them on their head. Change the way you think about things. He's always trying to get to do that if you begin to really ponder the parables. And in this very strange parable today, it looks like Jesus is glorifying cheating. It looks like he's saying, hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. It looks like he's saying cheating's fine, just so long as it gives you that competitive edge. And to make matters worse, it looks like he's holding this steward up to be a model of some kind. And if he were telling the story today about the coach who's stealing videotaping signals or the athletes with performance-enhancing drugs, is Jesus holding these athletes, these coaches, that steward up for us as a model? And in fact, he is. He's holding them up as a model for us. But it isn't because they cheat. The reason why Jesus is holding them up as a model for us is because they're bold and they're daring and they're enterprising. And then he says in the gospel today, The children of this world are bold, or more bold, daring, and enterprising in their own matters than are children of the light. That's us. Translated, it means this. When it comes to our athletics, when it comes to politics, when it comes to business or making money, all of those things being our mammon, we are so much more bold, daring, and enterprising than being bold and daring and enterprising about the practice of our faith. As a matter of fact, we're not bold and daring or enterprising at all. As a matter of fact, we're pretty wishy-washy, shallow, and timid when actually it comes to our faith. And oftentimes when the choice comes between athletics, politics, business, money, and our faith, we all know where that all goes for most people who claim to be Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. We fit our faith in when it's convenient, if it even makes the cut sometimes. And folks, we're teaching our children to do exactly the same thing. On the website of a French communist website, they wrote this note to the French Christians of their day, of our day, and they said this: your gospel is a much more powerful weapon than our Marxist philosophy of life. Yet we will defeat you. We will defeat you in the long run. How can anybody believe in your gospel if you refuse to live it out in your own lives? If you refuse to sacrifice your time, your money, your wealth, your mammon for it? How can anybody believe in your gospel if you refuse to get your hands dirty over it? Now, I hope that causes everyone, I've been thinking about this all week long. I hope it causes you to take pause for just a moment and think, why is it when it comes to business and politics and athletics, we're so bold, we're daring, enterprising, but when it comes to our faith, we're so wishy-washy, we're so timid, and we're so shallow? I mean, just to spend a moment or two just sort of pondering that thought might somehow be worth our while. But at the end here, just for a moment, what I want to say to you is something. Sometimes I think we have been bold, daring, and enterprising. And the first example I have of that is that picnic last week. Yes, a very simple picnic could be something that's bold, daring, and enterprising. First of all, in the spirit of the gospel, we decided we were going to invite anybody, everybody that wants to come. Here comes everybody, you know, to this picnic. We didn't have any idea how many people were going to come, but 800 and 1,000 people were there, and we were able to feed every single one of them. I had people walk up to me and say to me, where do I pay for all this food? It's for free. It's just all for you. Just welcome to come and celebrate this 100th anniversary with us. And the second part of all that that's kind of bold, daring, and enterprising is that we needed a lot of volunteers to pull that off. We needed hundreds of volunteers to pull that off. We had hundreds of volunteers, and they were smiling. There were people of joy saying hello to people as they came to celebrate with us. And on top of all that, you decided not that we were going to do the Alpha course, but we're going to do four of them all at the same time. And so we have four different Alpha courses going at the same time, staffed by every single one of you in the church here in four different places. And so here we have all those different people somehow or other getting the good news of Jesus Christ in a way because of you. And doing all those things together, it seems to me, was rather bold and daring and enterprising. At least if nothing else, it's going in the right direction. It's going in the direction of being bold and daring and enterprising. So I want to say to you today, let's keep it up. Let's keep doing that. Can you allow that parable today to turn your world a little bit upside down? Because Jesus wasn't holding that steward up as a model because he's a cheater. He was holding him up as a model because he was bold and he was daring and enterprising. So I want to ask you about your own personal life, and about my personal life, spiritual life, and about us as a parish. How can we become more bold, daring, and enterprising as we live our faith? How can we be as bold and daring and enterprising about our faith as we are about our mammon, about the many things that you might call your wealth. If we do that, then we become followers of Jesus Christ.